Society 13 Podcast Network. Redefining podcasts. Society-13.com.
I like to listen.
Welcome to Channel 9 of the STRY Radio Network, where stories live.
Before you listen to this podcast, be aware this show often uses very naughty language. If you don't like that, you shouldn't listen. Send your complaints to I Am a Whiny Baby with No Sense of Humor at nightstory.com or stop by the studio. I'll take you for a ride to a story of my choosing.
Hey, you found your way to the Ninth Story podcast.
I'm proud of you.
It's weird. The woods are dark and menacing. And today we're taking a wicked detour down that lane and talking to a film director today. His name is Emanuele Mangotti, and he has a project on Indiegogo called The Plague Doctor that is just drool-worthy on so many levels. So we're interviewing him today.
I like your description, age-real worthy, and then brain fart. So actually, we're going to be starting a little, you know, kind of going back to the beginning of season five, simply because Manuele is not a traditional writer. He's more of a director. So in order to kind of give you a sense of the tone for this piece, I've written a original story that I'll be performing right before the interview goes on. So we'll start off with the story, then right on to the interview with Emanuele Mangotti. So here is Veil Between Worlds by me, Immortal Alexander. I am always dreaming, always in the space between the waking world and the dream. When I write, I feel the much stronger pull from the dream world compelling me to stay there and never leave. It's hard for me to be here, when all I want to do is stay in that realm of pure imagination. I am trying to love this more tangible world. I need to try harder. There is love here. And I do love you all so very much. Balance is the key, and something that is so very hard for a daydreamer. I have been in love with the world of dreams from the moment my consciousness awakened. The waking world can be so harsh, but also so very beautiful. It's full of beautiful souls that share all that they are to anyone who will listen. When I was young, I would never be present. I was always elsewhere, in a place full of adventure, excitement, and castles in the clouds. As I grew older, the dreams grew darker, full of crawling things in the dark and menacing monsters who would chase me through my dreams, mouths agape, ready to consume me whole. I don't remember my dreams anymore. Not the ones that I dream at night. Only my dreams when daylight peeks into my brain, causing things to get a bit fuzzy. I am now very in tune with my subconscious during the day. I think it is why I don't remember my dreams. They feel cheated. My dreams, that is. That I don't love them as much. That I am feeding off of them, but I do not nourish them with my presence. I can just pull whatever I want from that intangible plane at will, without their permission. And that angers the keepers of dreams. I don't sleep well anymore. A small price to pay for the wonderful treasures I can take from the secret places deep within my mind. Don't you agree? Thank you for listening, and now, on to the interview.
So, I don't know, Emanuele, am I saying that yes. well enough? As far as like how you pronounce it?
Very well, very well. I would say like 99% close.
Perfect. Alex will do better because he speaks Italian better than I do.
No, yeah, I mean, you probably know the verbiage better than I do, but I my parents are from Italy. I'm like a first generation born here in the States. So.
Okay, from where in Italy?
Monte Scaglioso, near Bari.
Okay, I see. Very good. Have you been there?
Yes, I was there a couple of times when I was a kid, when I was like 5, then when I was 13, and then we went back when we got married, we went for our honeymoon, and we went and visited family after that.
Oh, okay, I see. Very good. So we like it?
We actually were staying with a friend in, we were in Florence for a little while with some friends,
okay,
and then
good.
We went to Monte Scaglioso for a couple of days, and then we went to Rome, which I had never really traveled in Italy before. I had only been to Monte, mm-hmm. so it was my first time, other than in the Rome airport, it was our first time actually going to Rome, and definitely our first time in Florence.
Oh, okay. That's nice. That's good.
So this is the Ninth Story Podcast, episode 507. Today we are talking to director Emanuele Mangotti about his film The Plague Doctor, which is on Indiegogo right now, and they're looking for funding, and he's an amazing director. And here is Emanuele.
Yes, hello to everyone. Thank you so much for having me here.
It's our absolute pleasure, Emanuele, and thank you so much for just kind of messaging us. I was kind of floored to see your message in our inbox. I was like, holy cow, this is so legit. I just wanted to start off by saying I'm really impressed with how much effort you've put in already into your Indiegogo project and into The Plague Doctor specifically. And how long has this film project really been in development?
Yeah, so I will say I start working, like the very first idea start like 6 years ago. And from there I start working and working little by little. Every little piece start taking like his position in this big puzzle. I'm not in a rush. I just want to do everything in the right time. So that's what I'm doing. And little by little, other people join me. So that's why and that's how this project is growing, and is growing with his audience too.
And Emanuele, can you tell us a little bit about the project, The Plague Doctor, and why you chose Indiegogo to fund your creative vision?
Yeah, about like 6 months ago, another crowdfunding platform started talking to me, and I was thinking about crowdfunding from long time, and I started doing like my research on all the different platforms. And I saw like Indiegogo, I really liked them, and I was actually in touch with one person that works with Indiegogo, that he helped me a lot. And I read a book about crowdfunding. I was talking very well about Indiegogo, so that's why I choose them. And also because you can use the on-demand option when the campaign is going to be over, mm-hmm. so you can still work with them.
I'm curious, what book did you read that you found really helpful?
It was written by Trigonis, and the title is Crowdfunding for Filmmakers.
Nice.
So it was really about crowdfunding and filmmaking, too. That's why I find it very, very interesting.
What was one of the biggest takeaways, aside from what made you pick Indiegogo in particular from that book?
Well, the way that they were talking, especially because it's very friendly for filmmakers. I saw also other projects from like friends or people that they know, and that's why I start trusting Indiegogo.
That makes sense. Can you tell us a little bit more about the story you want to tell with The Plague Doctor?
Yeah, So it's based from some legend and myth from a little island that is in the Venetian Lagoon. And I used to go there, in this island that is called Poveglia, when I was a little child with my dad. And I was like very, very fascinated by this place, all the ruins and everything. So my story, I got the inspiration from those legends to tell my story. My story is set really not a time reference. It's kind of surreal, a lot of atmosphere. It's going to be like a mix between The Others, Shutter Islands, a little bit of Eyes Wide Shut, a little bit of Black Swan. So this kind of atmosphere.
And Jeanette, since you're an artist, how would you describe to the audience the visual style of the short film, The Plague Doctor, this is based off of?
Well, that was the teaser trailer.
Yes, the teaser trailer.
Yeah.
So the teaser trailer, by the way, was freaking gorgeous, like just jaw-dropping. My part of my background is I'm a production designer, and I was so enamored entirely because of those. Your visuals were just so rich. I loved the fact that you kind of blended in that Venetian culture with the masks, and you filmed that one in Venice, right?
Yes, I actually did in Venice, and it was quite an adventure because it was pretty much no budget, and it was beautiful. It was an amazing experience, and everything was like because of like friends and family that they actually helped me to put together my vision and to help to tell the story. And when I did that, I was still working on the script of The Plague Doctor, and I really didn't know where my story was going, but I had some image and I want to play with that. And after that, after I finished the first draft of the script, I understand actually what that image, what was the meaning, the ultimate meaning of all that image.
That's really cool. It's kind of like your teaser trailer was just a sketch of the painting that the film is going to be. Just out of, I guess, curiosity, your costumes in that teaser trailer were so gorgeous. How did you get those? Like, what was the story behind those specifically?
Yeah, one of the costumes, that's the costume of the main characters, actually was a wedding dress that they repainted, and that's that's where that come from. And the others, they were like some friends. They helped me, and since I'm filming in Venice, a lot of people they have costume, so my family, they start asking around, and they brought me so many costumes. So from there, I start choosing which one to pick.
It's so cool, like just hearing about, just like, hey family, hey town, like hey city, help me out. Let's make something beautiful, and you did already. I'm very excited to see where the feature film progresses to next.
Yeah, that's something very, very interesting, and I hope that some producer will jump in, so we're gonna definitely have like a little more funds to try to show what actually is our final vision, because that was just as you say, exactly, it was like a sketch.
And Emmanuel, in your Indiegogo campaign, you're talking about how you grew up on the island of Lido Venezia near Venice. Can you tell us a little bit about what that place was like, and also what was it like growing up there?
Yeah, you know, Lido, it's a very regular city. Still, you're living in an island. It's the only island in Venice where actually there are cars. And it really doesn't make sense to me because it's so small that you really don't need a car. And I was just 5 minutes away from Venice. And I used to go to school in Venice. So every day was like taking a boat and take a ride on a boat for like 20 minutes to get to Venice. It sounds very, very romantic.
Yeah.
But trust me, that was like the routine. And it's not fun when you're used to that. It's like taking a bus, like a regular bus. Now it's, again, exciting because I'm living in the United States. But back in the days, it was like, okay, let's just get the boat and go there.
Yeah, I lived in La Maddalena for a little while, like a couple years, because my dad was in the Navy. And I had that experience. It was an hour, like, to get from where my parents were living onto a bus, onto a ferry, onto a bus, and then finally to the American school on the island. And it was just every day, 2 hours of travel. And yeah, it gets really old.
Yes. You understand me.
I really do. I love those ferries, though.
And Emmanuel, can you tell us a little bit about your journey to become a film director?
Yeah, I started. I was in the beginning. I was interested in acting, and that was I was doing. But then, little by little, I understand that I prefer like to be a director, to have more control on everything. I'm a storyteller by nature, and that's actually what brought me to be a director. And I just love to have like control on everything and be able to create a world with my movies.
So with that sense of control, how in mind, I guess is the right way to say that. How much did you have as far as a say in like the actual cinematography of what you've shot so far?
You know, I don't have that many technical skill, but I really trust the people that I'm working with. So I'm going to share with them the vision. And since I trust them and I know the way that they work, then they're gonna bring to life and they did bring to life my vision. So that's the way that I actually work, choosing the person that they share the same vision that I have.
So are you going to have that same kind of like collaboration with the special effects person that you're bringing on, which I'll have Alex pronounce this because I'll butcher it. The concept artist, Alex.
Luca, the concept artist, yes.
Simulato. Luca Simulato.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I'm working with him right now to see the design for the costume. As I say, and as we say, the teaser was just a test to a little bit understand and to show the world. But then after that, other people like Luca Nemolato, they jump on board and they start working on this project. And of course, he's bringing all his knowledge and his study about, for example, costume. And he will work also on storyboards and other things.
And Luca Simulato has a very impressive body of work on Hollywood films, such as The Conjuring, which we own and we love, and also Krampus, which we also own and love, and many more films, Hollywood films. How did you two meet?
Well, in the beginning, we were just friends. So that's the way that we met, and he knew about my project, and then one day I shared to him my vision, and he liked it, he loved it, and actually we were in Venice, so he first fell in love with the atmosphere of Venice, and then he fell in love with the project. The project himself is actually a love letter to Venice and to the atmosphere. It's my way to reconnect with the roots of Venice.
And is Luca from Venice? Did you guys meet in Venice, or did you meet in LA?
No. Luca is actually, we met in LA, and mm-hmm. Luca is actually from Naples. So it was his first time in Venice. That's why he was so excited.
Okay, gotcha.
That does make sense. That's so cool that you guys met in America and then went back to Italy and then deepened your friendship. That's really awesome.
Was he visiting family and you guys decided, like, hey, we'll both kind of, you know, meet in this other part of Italy later? Or did you guys go as a trip together as friends?
Well, I think he was visiting. He was back to Italy, but also with, like, my birthday. So I invite him, and was just a chance to come and to visit Venice. So mm-hmm. he came there, and I just showed him a little bit about Venice.
Nice. I think that's fantastic. Like, I like the little random ways that people connect with each other.
It was very, very randomly, yes.
And the question that I wanted to ask earlier and then got distracted by tangents, which I'm very good at. So are you going to be working with the same cinematographer that you had during the teaser, or do you know yet?
Working on the teaser and all the work that we did is also helping me to understand with which kind of person I want to work and to collaborate in the future. Then of course we need to see with the producer what mm-hmm. they decide. But yeah, I work with Edoardo Emanuele, that is very, very, very talented. Mm-hmm. He's 100% in this project, and we talked recently. He is 100%, so we are looking forward to work together on this. And I really hope that this is gonna happen, and I really want Edoardo to be with me in this project. But of course, we need to see.
Yeah, I understand. There's a long way to go before.
Yeah.
Before you get to sleep.
Yes. Yes. But of course, he is on board, and I want him on board with me.
Nice. He did a gorgeous job. And anyone listening, you definitely, at the very least, need to go watch this teaser trailer on Indiegogo. We will have the link to that in our show notes. It is jaw-droppingly beautiful, as you've heard me drooling over already.
and actually, every week, Jeanette does this thing called Horror Haikus Day on Tuesday on our website, horrormade.com, where Jeanette, it's like horror haikus. So basically, Jeanette makes a piece of art, and she puts it up there, and she gets people get inspired by that and create horror haikus based on that. And she's actually made, I think you actually had like a plague
yeah,
mask
I had a
character.
Plague doctor. I think I need to do another one specifically based on your plague doctor.
Exactly.
And shoot people that way again.
And so any of our lovely artist friends or poets out there who is interested in getting some inspiration should definitely check out this short as mm-hmm. well. If you'd like a little inspiration for creating poetry or writing or anything, it's a very inspirational piece to watch as well.
Very much so.
I would love to see all the works coming from that.
Well, and I like also how poetic your visual storytelling is, and you let us get a little sneak peek at your short, The Writer, which I cannot wait for film festivals to take a look at, because it, again, is gorgeous. But I like the poetic way you approach filmmaking. Do you write poetry, or what is your written word like?
I will not consider myself a writer. I would love to be. I would love to write like poems, and I'm working on the script of the Plague Doctor. But yeah, for me, the atmosphere and whatever comes from like cinematography, I'm very, very specific, and I exactly know what I want. And you're right, because that work that they did, The Writer, that is almost done with the film festival, it's like a poem. It's the storytelling is completely different, and I like that you say that. And usually I do write a little bit about that, but everything is in my mind, and I am very clear when I'm talking to the composer or the cinematographer, what they want, the style, the atmosphere that I'm looking for.
Yeah, typically this show is actually mostly focused on writers, but I think it's great to have people from different mediums and talking about how their creative process is, like with you as a director being more of a visual creator, that you're taking all the pieces together and you're working with the actor and you're working with, you know, all the artists and you're trying to create atmosphere. And I think a lot of our writers that listen, you know, use film as inspiration for their work. We were just talking to Stacey Longo last week, and she's very much will watch a movie or, you know, whatever it is to, you know, kind of get that inspiration going. And I just find it really fascinating, you know, taking story, the concept of story, and breaking it down to its various forms and understanding it to its core, which helps writers themselves understand how to better be better storytellers, you know, by understanding other mediums and how they're created as well.
Yeah, I do agree with you. And I think we need to be always open to, like, cross all those different paths to create something different and something new.
Definitely.
Let's finish up with the writer. Talk about the process for that.
Oh, yeah, we are very curious about the writer, even though people listening will not be able to see that for a while. but it was gorgeous, and I just have questions. With that one, what was the process for, just from like the outset idea to creating the short film, like for you?
Yeah, that one was kind of weird because actually the story is that, like, I had a friend that he had the equipment and he say, in 10 days I need to do something, I need to shoot something, do you want to do something? and I just wrote and I just create the atmosphere, and I just put everything together very fast, like a crew, set designer, and everything was very fast, and it was quite an experience. But I think that I just take the image that they were inside me, and I just create that. It just came out.
Nice job. 10 days. Holy moly, that one looked like it looked just as lovingly well crafted as your stuff for The Plague Doctor, although I admit The Plague Doctor has like this extra layer of grandeur to it already. But nice job, seriously. 10 days. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think that also for The Plague Doctor, we were pretty close to that time. Yeah.
And for the audience out there that's unfamiliar with this piece because they can't see it right now, can you describe the story of the writer a little bit?
Yeah, well, the story, as we're saying, there is not that much of a story, but we are the atmosphere. We are in the mind of a writer that is telling a story of love, a story of a scene. It's a little bit, it's a noir. I don't know how to describe. Let me say it's maybe like a surreal noir. Kind of movie, and we stay with the atmosphere of this writer. We have just a little peek of what is inside of the head of the writer in this case. And another piece that I want to tell you that is just the news from today. We are also working on a medium length documentary about the island that is inspired and is right now in post production.
Nice.
And it's actually one of the perks in the crowdfunding campaign. You can have like a preview of this documentary and have a special thanks on the screen.
So how long have you been working on the documentary?
Oh, the documentary, it's about 2 months. 2 months, yeah.
Oh, you know
I
what?
Was back in Italy like a month, 2 months ago, and right there we did some interviews Mm-hmm. And right now we are in post-production for that.
Nice. My little light bulb moment outburst there was one question I had was, do you think the Plague Doctor is going to be in Italian or English?
This is a great question, and I'm still thinking about this.
Okay.
Because, of course, being English, you're going to have like a way bigger audience.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried that that is going to lose a little bit of the feeling that I want to give. So I'm still thinking, and I need to see where these things is going to understand if making in English or in Italian.
If it's more about the atmosphere and there's, let's say, not a lot of dialogue, there's very little dialogue, I think it would really work really well. Like, we saw a Spanish film called The Baby's Room. And mm-hmm. and it's, are you familiar with this film?
No, I never heard.
Okay, and the film itself was about this mother and father, and they have a baby in the other room, and they have one of those video baby monitors. And whenever the father would look in the video monitor to look after his child, he would see a person, a man, in the room that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the mother would go in there and the mother father would get upset, and he'd go in the next room and he'd look, is there somebody there? Nobody would ever be there. And every single time he'd look in the video and the monitor, the guy would get a little closer to the baby, But it was a really atmospheric horror film. And I really loved about it is because of the fact that it was not a lot of dialogue. You weren't getting taken out of the experience because you're not looking so long at the words that you're losing the visual.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like atmospheric films that are a little slower paced and there's not a lot of dialogue, so that if it's in another language that I'm not familiar with, I don't lose any of the imagery when I'm trying to see what's happening.
Yeah, I think this is a good point, actually. Yeah, definitely.
Well, regardless of what language you decide to have it told in, I'm still very excited about it. And hearing it in Italian would be really just like immersive because of how visual and rich the story is. Like, Italian's just a far more beautiful language than English on many levels. But I don't know. I look forward to seeing what decision you end up making.
Yeah. And I'm so happy. And this project, I really, really love it. So it is always a pleasure for me, like, working on this.
And the island, Poveglia, where the film is set. So those were affected by the plague were taken to this island to kind of keep them isolated from spreading the disease. Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of this island?
Yeah, it's very interesting, the history and the legend related to this island, because if you are looking on the internet about the island, pretty much everything that you saw, actually it's not true. Like all the story that you read, they're actually not true. And at one point I had I want to understand a little bit more about this island, what actually was the history of the island. So the truth is that they never brought right there people with the plague.
Hmm.
Actually, right there was, yes, an outbreak of plague, but was on a ship. So they actually closed the island and let the people that they had the plague to stay there and try to heal them. And some of them, of course, they died. And then when everything was over, Poveglia was again open. There are other highlands where actually they were called Lazzaretto, and they are close by Poveglia, and they were used as a quarantine station.
Hmm.
Yeah. And but the story of Poveglia, yeah, it's a little bit different from what we are reading from internet. And I really didn't know that much before. But then I started studying a little bit more. I talked with an historian, and I actually had the pleasure to went to the highland with two mediums that they actually study the highland himself.
Did you discover anything interesting during that trip with the mediums? Meet any ghosts?
Yeah. Well, not during that trip, but they discovered something else related to paranormal experience. They discovered something. They did their research, and they find other things that they are different from the story again that we read on the internet.
Oh, that is cool. So, like, the story that you hear may not be true, but as you dig deeper, you're finding things that are even more interesting. I love it.
Yeah, that's actually the point. I mean, something that is very interesting that we are seeing, we're witnessing like the born of a legend, mm-hmm. because probably in like 20 years, what we are reading right now and what like few people know that is not true, maybe in 20 years it's going to become like to be like the truth because of mm-hmm. of the internet and the spreading of all those news.
Yeah, legends are hard to kill once they get going. So-and-so said, blah, really? Wow. Let me tell this to another person, and suddenly we're doomed. One of those things that I think is part of that is in your teaser for the documentary, you mentioned that there was an Ottoman ship full of salty cheese and death, which is awesome. Do you... I'm sorry. I'm laughing because of how we wrote this question. I'm just going to read this, even though it's not, though it's a little hilarious. Do you believe that this was the source of the plague there? And I think you kind of said that with how they quarantined everybody, but it was just really funny that it was full of salty cheese and death.
Yes. That was like a metaphor that the historian used. But that was true, that there was like it was load of cheese that that ship, and of course there was one of the person that was in the ship that was affected by the plague, and that's what happened.
I love that. I feel like bad cheese should be something that fans give to each other for this. I'm sorry.
Or very good cheese.
Or very good cheese.
Some really good Parmesan there.
There you go. That would be better.
Yes.
Alex, please take this microphone away from me.
So, Emanuele, is the documentary going to be paired with the feature film when it's released, or do you think they're going to be separate projects?
No, I think there's going to be just two separate projects. And most likely the documentary is going to be another content that is gonna create a little bit more what is the vision and the words of the plague doctor.
Sure, I was just thinking more about like if there was like a Blu-ray release, if it would be like an additional feature on there to have the documentary kind of paired with it.
Oh, that could be very that could be amazing. Yes, I think so. Let's see what happens.
There is I can't remember the name of the film, but there was a film about the Tooth Fairy. Mm-hmm. It was like a horror mm-hmm. movie about the Tooth Fairy, and they actually had this documentary that was paired with the movie, talking about the history of the specific island where the myth of the Tooth Fairy came from, and so they kind of paired that with it, and it was kind of interesting to have the two together, and after watching the film to go back and actually learn about the origins of that story.
Yeah, I think that's something very important to talk, yes, about the fiction, but also about the truth. And there are two different things, and both of them, they should be together.
Yeah, because people will be entertained and amazed, and then amazed and educated.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, oh, yes. Reading my notes and being very clever about responding to them. So, in the Plague Doctor, currently in the teaser trailer, you were kind of... excuse me, I am losing my voice. You okay. seem to be... in the Plague Doctor trailer, you seem to be playing with ideas of insanity, kind of mixed with the supernatural at the same time. Where did your fascination with these subjects begin, and where are you drawing this inspiration from?
Well, yes, I'm very, very fascinated by insanity and everything, and also like what our mind can actually create. And everything from, I think it's coming from my imagination and all the layer that actually our mind can create, and I think this is pretty much the point. And yes, I'm playing a lot more with insanity than supernatural.
Nice.
And do you draw any inspiration from either books or film, any specific books or films that you really are drawing in for inspiration, whether it be the visual style or the tone or anything like that?
Yes. Even if at the same point I want to create something that is completely different and completely new, there are some inspiration, especially in the movies that I am actually referring, or they are part of my vision. Like as I saw the Black Swan, mm-hmm. it's a great inspiration. But of course, also Eyes Wide Shut for all the masks that you saw. The others, those are the movie that really really inspired me, with like directors also like David Lynch, or another movie. This is called Don't Look Now, that was set in Venice. It's a movie from the 70s, and it's one of the very few good movie, in my opinion, that they are set in Venice. Another one is Casanova by Fellini, mm-hmm. but actually pretty much he built everything on a stage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, my father was mentioning that there was actually a horror movie filmed in my family's town in Monte Scaglioso when they were growing up. It's called Il Demonico, and we found like the whole thing on YouTube, and it was actually pretty fantastic to watch an entire horror film filmed in this tiny little Italian town set up on a mountain. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, I think that's really the magic, and that's really what I'm fascinated. I want to bring like my audience to be with me and to feel what actually are the feeling to be in Venice, especially during the nighttime. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you are in Italy, it's amazing because the time really really shifts, and you really could be wherever you want in time, because it's really you could be in every era that you want.
It's so true, because like each city really just has this ancient base to it, and you can wander around, feel like you slip back in time, and yet somehow, hey, there's someone on a cell phone over there.
Or you turn around the corner and there's McDonald's.
Or that.
Which we
MacD's.
Yes.
Which we found where was that? Florence. That was in Florence. We bumped into a McDonald's in Firenze.
We're like, that's nice. We will eat actual food.
I see. Yeah, but Venice is amazing also because there are no cars right there.
Oh, that's so cool.
And that's really make the difference when you're wandering around the city.
I can imagine that. Alex, do you have any last questions before we pop out to the intro? Or outro, rather?
I kind of consider this a horror film in a lot of ways.
Oh,
I mean, very much because it's the psychology and this insanity. I think it finds its way into that.
I'm pretty happy right now with the script. And I would love to write like a story, actually. for a book based on that, but I don't think I am a writer, so I want someone else to finish my job.
I think that's the mark of a good director, though, to come up with those ideas, to really put your heart and soul into it, and then say, hey, people, hey, artists, let's make this amazing, instead of just this idea I've jotted down. So I actually am really glad to hear that, and glad to hear that you're approaching this as a director. You really are. You're the storyteller through people, you know. Your pens are the people you're working with, in a way.
Paintbrushes as well. Canvas, all of those things.
You know. I think it's really beautiful.
I think that's the point of being a director, and you should find the right person, understand which one are the right person, and then trust them and understand where your limits are. Mm-hmm. And then that's the way to create a movie, in my opinion.
I agree. It definitely always felt really good when you had a director that just trusts you, and then so many magical things can happen. So where can people find the magical things that you are making, Emmanuel? I'll try. But where can they find you online, and how can they connect with what you're creating?
Well, right now I am just 100% on the Plague Doctor, so there is no actually like a website for myself or for my work. Right now, I am the Plague Doctor, so that's the things that you can find online, and where I am very, very focused. As I was telling you before, for example, for the writer. We had a few film festivals that depicted that job, so I was around on tour for that, and that's the way that I'm doing the stuff right now.
Emmanuele, you have this really cool perk, but as the digital download for some of your backers, which is these printable papercraft projects. Can you tell us some more about how that became part of this campaign?
Yeah, we had an artist from Brazil, mm-hmm. and he did pretty much the Highland and the Plague Doctor, and they're beautiful. He's a master, so I'm so happy that he did all of that.
It really was one. It's really unique and just very, again, gorgeous. Just it fits totally with your style, and two, it's so great to have a perk that's actually just a digital download kind of thing. It's just smart. You're just going about this
so
smart.
So easy, so easy. Yeah, especially when you have like a lot of people, mm-hmm. then it's like an headache, like that you need to ship everything. With this one, it's there, it's ready, and it's very, very simple. And you can print as many as you want. You can give to friends, and you can keep sharing the the Plague Doctor.
He can keep spreading the plague, Doctor.
Yes. with the cheese.
and Emmanuel, is papercraft something that you're interested in, or did somebody just present this to you and say, "Hey, we should add this to the campaign"?
Yeah, no, actually, like I got the idea from like a postcard that I got in Venice that you can actually wear. Able to build a little building from Venice, and I was like, oh my god, it's so cool, I should do something like that, but I don't have like the skill at all for that. So I was trying to ask into some friends, so they were like, I'm gonna try. And then my girlfriend, she find this guy that is like his passion and his love to do those things. That's why they're so amazing, and I really, really want that one.
Yeah, nice. It's really just, I don't know. You just have this great flair for the whole project. I'm very excited about it.
No, there are many artists that they are involved in this project. Also, the guy that did the poster, mm-hmm. it was amazing. He did a poster, a fan art poster for Stranger Things.
Oh,
nice.
And and it was you can Google it. It was. So beautiful, so stunning that actually it became viral, and the people from Stranger Things, they like it, and they invite him to meet the cast and everyone. And when we show to him the project, the Flick Doctor, he was like, I'm gonna do it.
Nice.
Like, I'm not asking nothing. And that was like a big proof of trust, because since he was not charging nothing, I say, okay, you saw the teaser, just do whatever you feel like. And in a couple of days, he came out with that, and it was just great.
We will have links to your Indiegogo in the show notes. Everyone can check that out on podcast.ninthstory.com / 507.
And it's 507, and 7's a lucky number, so that's perfect.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Emanuele, for joining us today.
No,
and for
thank you guys so much. It was so nice to share with you this story. Thank you so much.
We look forward to everything you're creating. I just connected with you on Twitter, so we can have a little back and forth when you're and share with us in our audience what how things are progressing.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Emanuele.
Thank you.
So thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Ninth Story podcast. We really had a blast talking to Emanuele, and we want to continue this conversation with you guys. So find us at Ninth Story Podcast on Twitter. You can also talk to me directly at HTV Immortal. That's me, Immortal Alexander.
And if for some unknown reason you want to talk to the derp-tastic brain that is me, Jeanette Andromeda, you can find me at Jeanette_art, also on Twitter.
That's fun times.
It is. I may just reply, banana. And if, actually, you know what? Here, I would really love this. Tweet me and just say the word banana. You'll get something fancy for that. I don't know what it'll be, but that's what you're going to get. Something fancy if you tweet me the word banana.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag banana? No, just banana.
Okay.
I don't need a hashtag. I just want you to tweet at me and say banana. Why? I don't know. I'm curious. And thank you to our sponsors, Rode Microphones, for making us sound amazing even when our brains go blurg. You can find all of their gorgeous recording equipment on Rode.com. R-O-D-E.com. Yay! Thank you, Rode.
When you're recording, sound like derp.
Like how Jeanette brain just turns up and then goes.
Yeah.
And then falls on the floor.
We're the best. You guys should totally keep listening.
I mean, I'm really proud of you for listening this far. What are you doing right now? Tweet me. Banana.
Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
I love you. Goodbye.